Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, last week I really appreciated Father Greg's sermon, a sermon that introduced us to the Gospel of Matthew and reminded us that Matthew really wants his gospel to be a manual for discipleship, that is the essence of the Christian life, and that's what we would be focusing on this year. I was really looking forward to following up on that. Imagine my surprise when I realized that today's gospel is from John, not Matthew. Both last Sunday and today, we get the narrative of the baptism of our Lord, but from two different perspectives. Today, we'll focus on what John has to say about the occasion that inaugurated Jesus' life of ministry. While the Gospel of Matthew has a theme of discipleship, John's Gospel has a theme of revelation, making clear to the world who this Jesus is. Jesus arrives at the River Jordan, but God's work of revelation has already begun. John the Baptist says that he wouldn't have known Jesus except that God had told him about the one on whom the Spirit of God would come. And when he saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus, he continued the work of revelation by making two statements about who Jesus is. He called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he testified that Jesus is the Son of God. These two declarations identify Jesus as divine and human. He also indicates what Jesus' human mission was going to be. Now, the Jews who heard John could well have connected his reference to the Lamb with the Lamb sacrificed every Passover. Just as the Passover Lamb was sacrificed, so Jesus was sacrificed for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. The Gospel of John reveals Jesus as both God and Savior. But the work of revelation didn't end there. When John the Baptist saw Jesus again the next day, he pointed him out to two of his disciples. Look, here is the Lamb of God. And because John had revealed this to his disciples, they turned and followed Jesus. John understood that his destiny was not to gather up disciples for himself, but rather to point them to Jesus, to the one who would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. They turned to follow Jesus, and when Jesus saw them, he asked them a question. In the Gospel book, the translation says, "What are you looking for?" In the translation I was working from, it asked, "What do you want?" I highlighted that phrase in my Bible. I imagined that it was to me that Jesus was addressing that question, "What do you want?" I think it's worth prayerful reflection for each of us. If Jesus stood before you and asked, "What do you want?" or "What are you looking for?" how would you respond? I like to think that every day Jesus stands before us and invites us to pour out to him the deepest desires of our hearts. So Jesus asks them the question, "What are you looking for?" And their answer to me felt a little weird. They said, "Where are you staying?" "Really? Okay." I don't think, though, that they were really fishing for his address. They wanted what they ultimately got, to go with Jesus and to hang out with him for the day. They received the initial revelation from John the Baptist, but they knew that to come to know more about who Jesus is, they would have to spend some time with him. The same is true for us. Jesus has been revealed to us as Lord and Savior, but the more time we spend with him, time in worship and prayer, time in Bible study and various spiritual disciplines, the more revelation we will receive, the more we will come to a deeper understanding of what Jesus means for our lives and for eternity. God revealed Jesus to John the Baptist. John the Baptist revealed Jesus to his disciples. Jesus revealed more of himself to those two followers, I am assuming, in that day they spent with him. But that's not the end of the revelation. Andrew, one of the two, immediately set out to find his brother Simon. Andrew became an instrument of God's revelation to Simon, who was then brought to Jesus. Simon, who was later called Peter and who became one of Jesus' inner circle. That people come to know Jesus sometimes happens because of what we have witnessed to them. We have come to know Jesus because of what someone, a parent, a teacher, a friend, or maybe even a priest, has shared with us about Jesus. And then in turn, we too are called to be part of the ongoing revelation of Jesus to the world. In today's gospel, we see that having been baptized, the first thing that Jesus does is to gather a group of disciples around him. His intention always was that there would be people who would follow him, learn from him, and in due course, continue his ministry on earth. That is a fundamental calling of the church. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It is not enough for each of you to come and sit in these comfortable pews. God has a plan for you and a calling for you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul identifies himself as one who has been called to be an apostle. And we do remember the rather spectacular way in which he was called, a blinding light. A blinding light and a vision as he traveled on the road to Damascus. I doubt if any of us have had such a dramatic call. If you have, tell me about it. It would be exciting. But Paul makes clear that everyone who is part of the church has, in their own way, been called by God. And then, in turn, we become part of that ongoing revelation that is so much the focus of the Apostle John. We are called to be witnesses. I don't know about you, but whenever anyone starts talking about witness or evangelism, I start feeling just a little bit freaked out. What will I say? How will people respond? What if I offend somebody? What if I say it wrong? What if the message is rejected? But of course, we all know that my real concern is, what if I get rejected? Paul reminds us that it's not all on us. Paul says that it is God who enriches us with knowledge. He affirms that we are not without the gifts of the Spirit as we live out our calling. He reminds us that God who has called us is faithful. And he reminds us that the starting point for all of this is fellowship with Jesus. When we think about discipleship, it's easy to get stuck in creating a spiritual to-do list. And yes, discipleship is about doing the things that Jesus calls us to do. How many of you have ever done a practice called gospel-based discipleship? Someday I'll have to tell you more about gospel-based discipleship. I've been teaching my confirmation kids about it. You know, it asks three questions as we reflect on a text, and the last of the questions is, what is Jesus calling you to do? It implies that our relationship with Jesus is dynamic. It's not just about sitting at Jesus' feet and soaking it all in, but it's about going off to do the things that he calls us to do. But the disciples in today's Gospel from John show us that the starting point is just hanging out with Jesus. If our intention is to live as Jesus' disciples, maybe the starting point is a commitment to daily prayer or devotions. I know that many of you already use the booklet, Our Daily Bread. There are also devotional apps that you can put on your phone, like Lectio 365 or Sacred Space or a myriad of other Bible reading apps. I hope that in 2026, we will all be committed to just spending a little more time hanging out with Jesus. And my prayer is that as we hang out with Jesus, more and more would be revealed to us, not just about who Jesus is, but about the plans and purposes that God has for each of us as individuals and for St. George's as a congregation. Amen.